Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington playing Levine, topside three ball, bam! Onions, baby onions! Zach Levine in the Bulls!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Levine to White, this time he gives it to Williams for three. The rookie! What a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 Score Scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, Human Forburn.
Oh, don't mess with the Pooch.
But what's his crossover? Casper to Free League Ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back.
I'm not.
Relax.
Not.
And get ready for the best hour of your day.
You
can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to Levine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh, my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us this week to get in on the action. We were supposed to do a Locker Room today, but they're having a little bit of technical difficulties, so we aren't able to do one today. Maybe tomorrow. Hopefully we can do one for Mailbag tomorrow, but Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Matt, how are you? Unfortunately, we're here, and it's another loss, and one that I think has put the final nail in the coffin for this Bulls season. And it's unfortunate timing, too, because it looks like Zach LaVine is going to be timely cleared to play on Thursday. But before we get into that, how are you?
Jordan, what's going on, man? What's up, Bulls Nation? If I'm Billy Donovan, there's no way I'm letting Zach see the floor. But, Bulls fans, you know, I think you just kind of have to accept where we are right now. And, we've got a few more games to grind out, and it sucks to be in this position where you know that the games aren't really counting. And if anything that you're rooting for losses, to increase or at least stabilize our odds to keep our top four protected pick. It's not a fun situation, but it's one that we are very familiar with, unfortunately. It is what it is. But hey, on the plus side, I just booked myself some tickets to go see the Blackhawks last home game of the season. So it's not a Bulls game, but I will be in the United Center in a very short amount of time for the first time in a very long time. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, it's too bad. Like, if they were still in the playoff hunt, and they technically still are, I maybe would think about going to either Friday's game or sometime next week. But yeah, the Sixers have put the final nail in the coffin. It was inevitable, man. I knew this was going to happen, which is fine. It just makes me ask a couple of questions about how they finish out this season. Do you want guys like Vooch, who's dealing with the hip problem he has, on top of Zach just coming back after 3 weeks off? Like, to me, man, I don't know if I want to see those guys out there and get themselves hurt if truly they're out of it now. Let the young guys play. Let Lauri Markkanen build up as much stock as he can, but I don't know if that's going to happen if he plays the way he did last night. That being said, I think minimize risk with getting guys hurt, guys that are important to this team, and see how many losses you can stack up by the end of this season. I think it's just a disappointing way to end this season after all the positives we've had all year long, man.
Yeah, it's probably not what most Bulls fans envisioned. And it's not easy or fun to preach patience, especially with this fan base that has done their best to be patient since the Jimmy trade rebuild started. This was year four of that rebuild. And I think a lot of Bulls fans said, all right, years one and two were a little rocky. Year three, you know, just went off the rails. Our players didn't, you know, progress and develop. They regressed. We had a joke of a coach we had to deal with. And I think a lot of people thought with a new front office and a new coach and a highly motivated and skilled Zach LaVine leading the way, that this might finally in year four be the year that, that we saw the rebuild start to get off the ground. For a variety of reasons, that didn't happen. I don't know about you, and I know most people think of me as a cynic and a pessimist when it comes to this team recently. I feel very, you know, curiously optimistic about the next steps we're going to see AK and Eversley do this offseason, the continued changes to the roster that will undoubtedly come, and what they can do next season. And in the meantime, you know, we get to watch playoff NBA basketball, which is going to feel so much better than watching this Bulls team that we've watched over the last couple of weeks.
It's weird to think about. They sit in the same position they were in last year, like at this time. Seventh in terms of the tankathon standings. It's weird to feel like this team doesn't feel that way, man. It doesn't feel like they've been as bad as things were last year. And I don't know. I would rather see this Bulls team play out the rest of the young guys, see what you have across your bench, and give guys opportunities that may have not had opportunities right now. I'm sure they're going to allow Lauri Markkanen to continue to play as many minutes as possible, but I don't see him returning, man. And it's something that we haven't talked about a whole lot over the last couple of weeks. I think on top of Kobe playing well and still trying to figure out whether or not this team being in the hunt for the play-in, the Lauri Markkanen not stepping up in Zach's absence, I don't know if that says more about his future here with this Bulls team or just who he is long-term as a player, but it's weird. He's had opportunity after opportunity to step in that role, and while his numbers may look good, he's not hitting shots when he need him. He's not scoring when they need him, and it's just been a whole inconsistent mess. So I think that's kind of gone under the radar as much as we praised him for his stats in the first six or seven games without Zach.
It is what it is right now. I mean, we talked when Zach first went out with health and safety protocols about how the team would try to collectively make up for his absence. And I think what we have seen over this last, I think what, last night marked the 11th game that Zach has missed since he went out with health and safety protocols, is how much this team actually needs and misses him. Because we got a couple of wins like out of the gate, and then all those Bulls fans, the Zach LaVine haters among the fan base, who are like, oh, see, look, we take the ball out of Zach's hands. Zach isn't playing, and look, the Bulls are moving the ball, and guys are sharing the ball. And you know, it was like, guys, you're playing, you know, junk teams. You're getting win on junk teams or shorthanded teams. When you've seen the Bulls try to run half-court offense this past, you know, almost dozen games now without Zach, you see the inconsistencies of one Kobe White. You see the inconsistencies of one Lauri Markkanen. You know, Vooch, before he went out, only could do so much by himself. And the ball was sticking. Even without Zach out there, the ball was sticking. And opposing defenses could basically shut us down because nobody out there could generate their own shot off the dribble. Nobody could break down defenses off the dribble. You know, Kobe occasionally could get to the rim, but he's not as deadly as Zach and not even close. So we've seen all these games where the Bulls can't even score 20 freaking points out of the gate in the first quarter. And tell me if that has anything to do with Zach LaVine not being out there.
It's part of the thing we've talked about all season with Lowry, is that the fact that he needs somebody to provide him the ball, and even in catch and shoot moments, he hasn't been consistent this year all season long. But you're right, like Zach and Kobe are the only two dudes on this team consistently all season who get buckets off the dribble and do it at about a 50-50 rate compared to catch and shoot. It's insane, because we were talking about the Bulls have the highest rate of just basically you're a primary catch and shoot guy, and that's the only way you can score. We had three or four players three quarters of the way through this season over 70% on catch and shoot. That's how they were getting their buckets, 70% of the time. It's crazy. So I think Lowry going to a different team, man, is going to benefit him. He just needs to go to a place that has a playmaking point guard, somebody that can feed him the ball. He's going to be one of those cases too we talk about in a couple of years, where he goes to a different team and he's going to light it up in a role that he accepts, and he needs to go to a place that's going to fit him, and maybe a new start, just like a lot of former Bulls have had recent success. I'm thinking of Gafford, and even Chandler Hutchison has had success in spots with the Wizards. So It's unfortunate that that's where the conversation is going. Is there any, before we go to something else, is there any possibility that you think Lauri Markkanen's back during the summer?
Back with the Bulls?
Back with the Bulls.
No. I don't. To put it simply, I think that the Bulls front office will do the due diligence of exploring any possible opportunities for a sign and trade scenario with some teams that might be the team that want to see if they can fix Lauri in his second NBA contract. Other than that, I think the most likely scenario is him just getting an offer as a restricted free agent that the Bulls decide not to match. The only scenario in which I can see him sticking around is that he hits the restricted free agent market and is so non-pleased with the figures that he gets and the offers that he gets, if he gets some, that he decides that he would rather stick around here and, you know, take the money that the Bulls might be willing to offer. But even that to me seems unlikely at this point.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, do you think the Bulls are going to offer him like 3 years, 33? Like that's pretty much what I figured the Bulls offered him to start their negotiations. And he was like, hell no, I'm a $20 million type of player. Same thing Bobby Portis thought, he was a $20 million player too. Do you think the Bulls even lowballing him, going back to the place that they started, and Lowry saying, you know what, I could accept that on a short-term deal? Would they even do that at this point?
Man, I don't know, because do they see him as a piece that they are going to continue to build with? I mean, at what point do you just say, well, Vooch is a veteran who's like in his prime right now, so he won't be around forever. But in the meantime, next season, if your plan is to continue to really push your efforts behind the growth of Patrick Williams and allow him to play the four primarily while you find yourself a wing, and maybe Troy Brown Jr. sticks around, maybe Javonte Green, who had some really strong defensive minutes in their loss to Philly last night, sticks around. They still have to figure out that position if P-Dub is going to primarily be this team's four of the future. But I think we've clearly seen that Vooch and Lowry together wasn't anything special. It was actually fairly ugly. And one of those guys is an all-star and one of them is not. So, I mean, what service are you doing yourself by giving Lowry any amount of money when you clearly have all these pieces in your front court and you have much more pressing needs to address with the money that you have, whether it be at the wing or obviously at the point guard position?
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to time it up too. Like, they don't have to make a clear decision until they want to or until he's offered something. So I don't rule it out completely, but it does seem very unlikely. I think the only thing that would make me say yes, he comes back even at a short-term deal like that, low cost, is if the Bulls front office still believes that if he's willing to commit to coming off the bench and playing 20-25 minutes a night and beating second units, that might be the place for him right now, short-term, and to help the Bulls the most. If they believe that it's only going to take a point guard or two guards that can get him the ball consistently, yeah, maybe they take the chance instead of saying, you know what, freeing up the cap space and letting him walk isn't as much worth it. Because who knows, like, even if you re-sign him, you could still trade him down the road. I don't know if that's how Lauri Markkanen feels. Does he want to move to a new city? It's going to be questions we ask for the next couple of months as we head into free agency. But,
I'll say this. Based on what we've heard from Lowry in the recent weeks since his demotion, if there is any team out there in the league where he's willing to go and live in that team city that pitches him being a starter on their team and pays him something that resembles starter money, even if not star money, he's going to take that as opposed to settling for a low-paying bench role on his Bulls team, because he has repeatedly said since the demotion, I'll do whatever coach asks me to do. I'm trying to be a team player. I'm trying to help the team win. But I know I'm a starter in this league. We've heard him say it. And that's like a fairly bold statement for somebody like Lowry, who more often than not, is fairly soft-spoken and not, very outwardly braggy about his abilities on the basketball floor. So he thinks he's a starter. So if he gets a starter offer somewhere, he's probably going to go. Jordan, I wanted to remind everybody, as you said in the opener, that today's episode is brought to you in part by the new awesome Locker Room app. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app's free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me and Jordan, other Bulls fans, other NBA fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Jordan and I are going to be hosting these Locker Room Locked On Bulls sessions on a weekly basis. Assuming that the app is good to go, we'll be there tomorrow doing our weekly mailbag episode, and you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the NBA. You'll find fans just like yourself on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news and rumors. Be sure to join me and Jordan next week, later this week, tomorrow. We will be hosting one of our weekly mailbag episodes right here in Locker Room. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. And ding, 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 for all you of my fellow Android people out there, the Android beta version is now available in your app store. So go get the Android beta version, people. I got it on my phone. Get it on yours. Shout out to my Android people. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. Follow me, same as my Twitter handle, Bulls_Pex. Same for Jordan, Jordan C. Malley, to be notified when both or either of us go live in one of our rooms. I know you won't want to miss it. Planning on being live again, like we said, tomorrow for our weekly mailbag episode. Can't wait to hear all of your thoughts on the Bulls as their season comes to a close. See you there, Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports.
I'm not doing that, so.
We got a quick update on Paul Zipser, too, by the way. Did you see the person that tweeted at us the highlight of him absolutely posterizing somebody? He's playing on a German team, now Bayern Munich, I believe. But the other day, he absolutely posterized somebody.
Gotta be honest, didn't think I'd ever hear Paul Zipser's name ever again. Unless you were dropping the Gar soundbite.
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
Thank you, Gar.
Real quick, let's check in. Somebody called us last night reacting to last night's game and also just kind of looking ahead to the offseason. And then I have a question for you as we get out of here, Matt. And make sure you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. We're going to do a full mailbag tomorrow as well as our locker room. So make sure you drop us a voicemail, whether you want to ask us about the offseason, maybe the upcoming draft as well. Your thoughts on this season as a whole. How do you feel as a Bulls fan in year four now? What do you think that they're going to do long term with Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and some other pieces on this team? Whatever you want to hit us up and ask us, 331-979-1369. All right, this is Javier.
Hey guys, this is Javier. Just wanted to touch base after the 76ers game, the loss. I didn't think they, had any fight in them in the first half, and then the moment they brought in Green there, it completely changed everything. It changed the whole dynamic. I find it that the Bulls really, really need to address the point guard situation in the off season. Find a gritty point guard, one that does, just the dirty things and just, creates a lot of opportunities on the defensive end to, convert them to, offensive opportunities. That being said, I think the best option is for the Bulls. Go after a point guard, regardless of, whatever happens this season, if they, happen to make the play-in tournament or not. But in order to keep Levine, Vooch, and, some of the other guys, I think it's important for them to get somebody. I mean, if they can't get Lonzo Ball, or do a sign and trade with the team for a Lauri, land some sort of point guard, I'm hoping that they can at least get somebody like TJ McConnell. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. Love the show.
It's going to be something that we probably talk about the next, 100 times from between now and as free agency approaches in the offseason, Matt. But he's right. Like, there's no other excuses. And a lot of the problems that this Bulls team has, and I can't say for sure that I'm 100% confident, but I'm pretty confident that if you get a playmaking two-way point guard in here, a lot of the issues that are going on with some of these guys on either side of the ball will be resolved. Look at anywhere for recent examples on how that helps young players too, if you're looking for development, aka Patrick Williams. But you know what's the funniest thing is the first player that I thought of when Javier was describing the player that we need. Do you know who I'm thinking of?
Was it one of the players that he mentioned or somebody else?
It was Chris Dunn. He wants he wants a scrappy, gritty, defensive-minded point guard. That's it. He was describing Chris Dunn, which is hilarious because it didn't work out here. Not hilarious because it didn't work out, but hilarious that that's the type of point guard we need. But we need somebody who can be a little bit more consistent on the offensive end. That being said, anybody that you're thinking about targeting this offseason, man?
God. Good. Okay, well, first, before we get to the who are we targeting in the offseason, oh my God. Chris Dunn, really?
Shaq Harrison was another person that I thought of too. I'm like, Ryan Arcidiacono, these are all the guys that in a perfect world, that's who he's describing. But
I mean, in the three games that he played for Atlanta when he came back, which were, by the way, three losses, and he averaged 14 minutes, 14, 15, 13 in those three appearances. His stat lines were binary, all ones and zeros, except for his turnovers or fouls, which were higher than that. And
dude,
those were,
again, like
three
a year,
losses,
though.
Binary stats. Oh, and then what happened when the Hawks and Bulls played Saturday, and then the Hawks played their next game after that? Two DNPs for Dunn and two victories for Atlanta. Coincidence? I think not. Come on, people. Chris Dunn.
Dude's played like three games in like a year and a half. What do you expect? That being said, yeah, man.
So, okay, maybe giving him a little bit of a break for being rusty, but that's not rusty. That's three straight games where you did nothing except foul people and turn the ball over. Nothing.
I'm not saying Chris Dunn. I'm just saying it's funny. That's the in the perfect world. He was describing what Chris Dunn, what we thought Chris Dunn was going to be the first couple of years.
Like the name that he brought up of TJ McConnell, I don't hate that. Certainly he is the pest of the NBA this season. He's gotten a lot of credit for what he's done with Indiana. And a lot of people are talking about him being sort of like that 1B tier of names that will be available this summer.
No, thanks.
I mean, it's not the playmaking point guard that this team desperately needs. He would help your point of attack on defense. Absolutely, he would. Does he offer you that some of the same playmaking abilities that Lonzo does? No, he does not. He also, like Lonzo, is a bit of a question mark when it comes to his ability to contribute behind the around the perimeter behind the three-point line, as he is not much of a three-point shooter. So, you know, the Bulls need to figure out something. And, you know, obviously that's nothing new. We all know that this team desperately needs a point guard. You know who else knows that? Arturis and Eversley. They will address it.
If they come away from this summer and pitch Zach LaVine in a contract year is, hey, we went out and got TJ McConnell. I mean, Zach's walking to LA. It's over. If that's who we're pitching this offseason, man, like, think about that. Yeah, we got two all-stars here, and guess who's going to be your third killer? TJ McConnell. He's going to be the guy that puts it all together. Like, we got some real problems if that's the case. I'm not saying he's a bad player by any means, but he fills the Ryan Arcidiacono role, the do a little bit of everything. And I see your point. Like, he's better than Ryan Arcidiacono is, but, like, at this point, I think we've got higher aspirations than TJ McConnell. Is that fair?
Is what fair?
That saying, like, Bulls fans would be completely disappointed in that, like, Zach LaVine himself would be completely disappointed as far as, like, your most important ad this summer being TJ McConnell. Yeah.
Yes. It's fair to say that the fan base and Zach would be disappointed by that. Yes.
There was a final point I was going to make. It doesn't matter on the point guard situation because we won't know until free agency hits. And there's a lot that can happen, too. Like, That's it. There's a question I want to ask you, but I want to do it after this. Want to quickly tell you guys about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and the NHL and NBA playoffs are right around the corner. You can track all the action at Bet Online. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and even UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their playoff runs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up at Bet Online today and receive a 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON. So if you sign up for a Bet Online account and put $100 in your deposit, they will give you 50 extra bucks on top of that with promo code LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Here's what I was going to ask you. This is where my brain went yesterday as I started to think about it more and more after the Sixers game, is that the likelihood or the not likelihood of the Bulls landing a top four pick and what that would mean for their offseason in terms of if they want to accelerate things or if they want to continue to develop things. My brain went one way is saying if they jumped up to the top four spot, it's a legitimate, it's a golden nugget to basically go to any team that has a star on its team that wants to rebuild and say, hey, we'll take your star. Let's see if we can build it. That's just one opportunity that they could have. Have you thought at all about them, like, say, if they get into the top four, of trading the pick to add a third star next to Vooch and Zach, and would that even work?
I mean, yeah. There are a lot of different ways in which it could work. The Bulls do have some wiggle room as far as what they have. They don't have a whole lot of tradable assets as far as talent right now. But they do have some partial guarantees, several expiring contracts, so they can take on money if they want to. And they, as you said, if they get lucky and jump into the top four, if they don't absolutely love anybody, Mobley, Suggs, Cunningham, whoever, that they might want to use that pick and keep that pick on because they want to bring a third player to play with Zach and Vooch right now, you know, whoever, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, you know, whoever. I think that is certainly a possibility. Now it's just a matter of whether or not you think that they get that right star and they think that they get that right star. Who is the piece that they think they need who might be in their prime, you know, either early prime, middle prime, or back end of their prime star to pair with Zach and Vooch, who's gettable because the team that they're currently playing for is about to hit the reset button this offseason. You can come up with several names, you know, depending on what Washington does. This weird regular season run they're on with Westbrook doing all this stuff is crazy fun, but like maybe he and Beal or, you know, one of the two are looking for a new home this offseason. DeMar in San Antonio, Kyle Lowry with the Raptors. Clearly, it looks like that, divorce is finally going to come this offseason. Kevin Love with Cleveland. I don't think Kevin Love really helps this Bulls team all that much right now. But, you know, there are a lot of opportunities where they could go. Now, I'll turn it back to you, Jordan. What would you prefer they do if they jump into the top four? And maybe, for your opinion and for anybody's opinion, it depends on whether that pick is 1, 2, 3, or 4. And your answer might be different if it's 1 versus 4. But generally, if they jump to the top four, would you rather see them keep and use that pick, somebody to pair with Patrick Williams for the long, long haul, or use it as you just suggested, to swap and get a star to play with Zach and Vooch right now?
I think it would depend on who you get too, right? That would be the most important thing. I think I would trade it. I honestly do, and here's the reason why I would trade it. You got lucky in basically figuring that you were going to make the play, or you were in a good position to make the play-in and or playoffs this season. It only got derailed in the last, what, 3 or 4 weeks, really, since Zach LaVine has been sitting out. That being said, being back in the lottery at 7 and jumping up, 7 or 8, and jumping up to 4 is a lucky break. And I think you take the lucky break, and instead of developing the guy right now, if you still see a future with LaVine and Vooch and you're missing a piece, and it could be a Russell Westbrook for a couple of years, I think that they can do that and keep their flexibility by adding a third piece. Like John Wall, I don't even think would cost you a whole lot with the Rockets as well. So there are multiple opportunities where you could say, hey, we'll take the fourth pick and let's get creative here and see what kind of deal we can make. I think I would trade it under the right circumstances that the Bulls are still willing to commit to LaVine long-term and Vooch long-term. If they're still kind of like up in the air, I would say take the pick, and at least you have that and you have Patrick Williams at the very bare minimum. If Vooch and LaVine walk, at least you have both of those guys and you got Kobe White. So you still have something. I think trading it away and risking still not knowing whether LaVine and or Vooch want to stay here long-term would be too much of a risk at this point 4 years in, don't you think? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
What would you do? Would you keep it or would you trade it?
What I said, I think applies in that it depends on if it's 1 or 4 or 2 or 3. If it's 1, damn, I'd be tempted to keep it. Because as much as I love Zach LaVine and as much as it's really cool that we brought Vooch here, honestly, man, I think Patrick Williams is the future of this franchise.
No doubt.
If you can get somebody who is his same age, that young, and I, you know, young players, we're sitting here, we're saying we're sick of losing, we're sick of being a lottery team, we're sick of missing the playoffs. Young teams don't win in the NBA. But if they get developed the right way, those really good players can become competitive players in the early stages of their prime, not just the middle and late stages of their prime. The other thing about trading it is, as you said, you know, it depends on the caliber and age and salary of the star they'd be getting. And what are you giving up in addition to that pick? Because it's not like you're going to get an NBA All-Star for just one first-round pick, unless it's a aging quasi All-Star. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
And I don't think throwing Kobe White into that package, you know, sweetens that package up all that much. No offense to Kobe, but I don't think it does.
I think it at least gives you the opportunity to pick up the phone to call basically every team in the league and not get hung up on right away. If you do have pick 1 through 4 and you start asking about some of their top players. That being said, as I end the episode and think about this, if things just go totally wrong and disastrous for the Lakers, is there any possibility that they would be willing to shift gears and maybe trade AD and say, hey, if we can get a star or two stars here, try to win LeBron something else? Because that's been the biggest question, has been his health. You pick up the phone and ask, and would you even have a conversation about AD for LaVine or AD for LaVine and Vooch?
No. If I'm the Lakers, no.
If you're the Bulls?
If I'm the Bulls, I'd do that in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? No offense to Zach and Vooch, but I'm pretty sure neither of them is a top 5 player in the NBA. Anthony Davis, when healthy, is arguably a top 5 player in the NBA.
No, that's no arguing. The problem is the when healthy, right? That's the real sticking point. We haven't had good luck with injuries. But yeah, if they're willing to entertain the conversation for that, that's something that, like, in the back of my mind I thought about too, because as we think about what LeBron's going to do over the next couple of years, maybe the Lakers want a fallback, a safe option should LeBron decide to leave and AD leaves after the next couple of years. I mean, Zach could be there long term still in his prime. So that's why, like, I'm still scared that he's going to go there in a year if he hits free agency. But
he might go there and team up with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
True.
But I do not see the Lakers letting go of AD. Are you kidding me?
Things would have to go disastrously wrong.
Like you said, disastrously. And even if they get stuck in the play-in this season because, you know, LeBron and AD have both missed significant time and they've struggled in a very competitive Western Conference, and say the worst happens and they lose their play-in scenario and they don't even make the playoffs, okay, yes, that's really, really bad. But you run it back with LeBron and AD because they're LeBron and AD. LeBron is aging, but he has pushed off father time better than pretty much any NBA player ever before in history. And before he got hurt this season, he was having top five MVP caliber stuff.
No, right. You're 100% like, right.
AD is probably the best option of any player in the league who in their prime could say, hey, LeBron, are you tired of being Batman? Cool. You can be Robin now. I'll be Batman. And we've even seen that at times with the Lakers over the last year and change.
I had to ask it because that's going to be a conversation that happens should things blow up. Like, I'm talking like the Lakers make the play-in and then they lose in the play-in. Could you imagine that?
You know me, I would love to see that happen.
It would just cause off-season chaos, which I'm totally here for. That being said, these are the types of conversations we're going to continue to have over the next couple of months. The off-season is sort of one of my favorite times of the year because we get to have all of these what-if discussions and talk about potential roster movement, potential trades, people who they're going to sign, and we still have a draft too to talk about as well. So any of your ideas, anything you guys want to discuss, any trade hypotheticals you want to discuss, you want to react to the rest of the season, you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Your text messages, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Hit us up again, 331-979-1369. We're going to do mailbag tomorrow, so get your voicemails and text messages in. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.